Translation. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes me to dance, laugh, and cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and then began to speak. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. When a disciple very perfectly makes progress in spiritual life, this gladdens the spiritual master, who then also smiles in ecstasy, thinking, how successful my disciple has become. He feels so glad that he smiles and enjoys the progress of the disciples. Just as a smiling parent enjoys the activities of a child who is trying to stand up or crawl perfectly. Omayana Tamandasha, Ganjana Shlagaya, Joksu Shamilatam Jena, Tasma Sigurvinamaha, Sijitanimanovistam, Tabitam Jena, Wutale, Swayam Rupagalama Yandarandi, Slavrandigam, Vandeham Sigur, Siadabara, Kamalam Siguran Vaisnavam Shah, Sivupam Sagaritam, Sagaravagam, Tamatam Tam Sijivam, Sadvetam Savarina, Parijana, Saitam, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna, Haram, Sagaralita, Sri Visakam, Vichamsa, He Krishna, Guru Natsindu, Dhanavando, Javide, Govisha, Govikanta, Radha Kanta, Namaste, Tapta, Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe, Vandavanishwari, Sutra Devi. Vandruga, Vadru, Visha, Vivasindu, Vivija, Vijitana, Homeo, Vaishnava, Rama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes me to dance, laugh and cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and then began to speak. This chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this is the result of chanting. If you're chanting perfectly, because Prabhupada says in the purport, when a disciple very perfectly makes progress in spiritual life, so we have to analyze what is very perfectly. Because if one very perfectly makes progress in his spiritual life, the result will be that when he is chanting, he will become very ecstatic and he will dance in ecstasy. He will laugh uncontrollably and sometimes he will shed tears. This is the perfection of chanting the holy name of Krishna. So this type of ecstasy, it cannot be compared to the happiness of the material world. In the material world, we also experience happiness and we experience distress. But the happiness that we gain in the material world there's no comparison to the happiness that one will feel when one is directly understanding his original constitutional position, because Satchitananda, we are eternal, we are full of knowledge, we are full of bliss. This bliss portion, this is under the control of Ladini Shakti, this is Krishna's pleasure potency. And the jiva, the living entity, if he perfects his life, he can come under the control of the divine energy. Even Krishna himself, in the spiritual realm of Goloka Vrindavan, he places himself under Yoga Maya's protection, or not protection, but under Yoga Maya. And she makes so many wonderful arrangements for Krishna's lila pastimes, pastimes of pleasure. Because ultimately, Ananda Buddhiva, we are pleasure seeking. What's that verse? Ananda Moya Vyasa. We are pleasure seeking. But the living entity in Maya, he thinks he can find pleasure outside of Krishna. And Actually, there is no Maya in the sense that everything is one of Krishna's energies. So even this material energy can be turned, or this material world can be turned into the spiritual world if one utilizes it properly. Maya is only when we see things separate from Krishna. So if we actually utilize everything in Krishna's service, then there is no material world. It is all the spiritual world. So the jnanis, they try to renounce the material world. The kamis, they try to enjoy the material world selfishly, selfish sense gratification. The yogis, they try to get some mystic power. That's also enjoyment. But the bhaktas, the devotees of Krishna, they know how to utilize the world. They do not renounce the material world. And actually, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was such a wonderful example of someone who could utilize the material world in the service of Krishna and show how that is to be done. And he engaged everyone. It doesn't matter what qualification they had or whether they didn't have any qualification. He would engage them all in Krishna's service. He understood the power of the material energy and how the material energy will deviate the jiva from service to Krishna. So he understood that. He did not mind in the sense that sometimes his disciples had difficulties. You can expect it, because the power of the material energy is so strong. You can read as many books as you like, and you think you have knowledge of Krishna, but then when one comes in contact with sense objects, naturally the process of conditioning takes place. Unless one is properly fixed in Krishna consciousness, his mind will be wayward. So Krishna, Prabhupada knew this. He knew some of his disciples would have difficulties. But he still engaged them. So he knew how perfectly well to utilize. So much so that even one devotee, who was a nice devotee, Prabhupada liked this devotee, but he went away from devotional life and actually ended up working in a gay bar serving alcohol. So one devotee, he came because he was doing sankirtan. What he was doing there, I don't know, but there's no problem. You can go anywhere. You can go anywhere in the service of Krishna. So anyway, he said, I recognize, Dhananjaya probably told me this story. I recognize you. Aren't you such and such a devotee? And he said, yes. He said, well, actually, Prabhupada is in town. Why didn't you come to see him? So he said, okay, I will come. So he went to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had great affection for him. And he had a great affection for Srila Prabhupada as well. So then, due to that meeting, he again established himself in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada gave him very responsible service immediately. He did not say, oh, you've just been working in a gay bar serving alcohol. You cannot now engage in seva. You have to immediately engage them. Because Prabhupada knew the material energy is so very, very strong. So he was not judgmental. When the conditioned soul, he sees the devotees, or he sees people, he does not see them as part and parcel of Krishna. He sees them in their material position, that he is such and such a person. He has this social background, that social background. He has this type of beauty, that type of knowledge, so on and so forth. But the devotee in knowledge of Krishna consciousness, he sees everyone as part of Krishna. So Prabhupada saw like that, and he engaged everyone. Because he wanted, he says here in this purport, it is his greatest happiness that he engages people in devotional life. This is the thing. Because if you have something wonderful, you'll want to share it with others. So this is the fact. The pure devotee, he acts in that way. This is Krishna consciousness. So by serving And associating with such devotees, the pure devotees, one can develop a liking for hearing and chanting about Krishna and become detached from this material world, because we have to at least intellectually understand or philosophically understand that there is another existence other than this material body and our karmic position. We have to be very convinced of this. And that to thoroughly and perfectly come to the platform of our original spiritual consciousness, we have to constantly hear and chant about Krishna's life and his activities. Because when Krishna came to the material world 5,000 years ago, he came to display his lila, pastimes. And he came to display his lila pastimes, why? Because he wanted to attract us to enter into them pastimes. And even religious people, he came to attract religious people as well. Because some people might think, oh, they're already religious. No, religion is no good on its own. It is just auxiliary activity. You have to, Krishna says ultimately, give up religion and simply surrender to me. So Krishna has come to display his wonderful leelas. And these leelas all take part in the different energy, not the material energy, but the Ladini, Sandini, and Sanvit energies of Krishna, these three energies. So we have to be very convinced of these things. And our philosophy is that this material world, it is a reflection of the spiritual world. All the variety we see in the material world, that is there in the spiritual world. So it's not that spirituality means that there is no activity, there is no emotion, there is no love, there's a variety of different emotions, there's a variety of spiritual activities. So Krishna has come to display these things. So the devotee of Krishna, his main purpose is to meditate and to hear and chant about these activities. That is the perfection of spirituality. Now this is described in the Nectar of Devotion by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He gives a very nice purport as to how, what the essence of life is. And that text 8 of the next version is, the essence of all of vice is to utilize one's full time, 24 hours, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes. So this is the, we must utilize our time, full time, 24 hours. Nothing other than chanting, remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes. Thereby gradually engaging the tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraj and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. And one should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees. So this is the very important verse. Do you think so? Very important verse. The essence of all of vice. So all of vice in the Vedas that you see in the Vedas, this is the essence of it, that one should hear and chant and remember Krishna. Now there's a process how to do that. It's just like the yogis. The yogis, they undergo their processes. or the athlete, let's take the athletes, you know, it's all in the mind. You ask any sportsman, he'll say it's all in the mind. You know, if you're in the, they call it being in the zone. If they're in the zone, they're very focused, and they can perform anything. So sports people, they have psychologists, sports psychologists. They come and help someone get in the zone. Actually, devotees would probably be good if they want to get a job, maybe to become sports psychologists, because we know all about the mind, don't we? Krishna consciousness. We probably make good sports psychologists, actually. So that's something, if anyone wants to do that, they can do that. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, you must train your mind. This is the thing. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, wherever your mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, bring it back under the control of the self. This is the nature. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says here, okay, we have to 24 hours a day utilize. How are we going to do that? It won't happen just like that. We have to practice. So this is Krishna consciousness. We're practicing. So we train the mind. We follow the regular principles. We chant. We hear. Remember. We develop taste for such things under expert guidance of devotees. This is what the... To please the pure devotee, to make him happy. He wants to see us hearing and chanting, remembering Krishna and becoming relieved from the onslaughts of the material energy. He wants us to see. So if we want to do that, we have to undergo process. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says that the neophyte stage, it is called Shravana Das. I'm just quoting from him now. Shravana Das means you hearing. Then acceptance is called Varana Das. Then attachment to Krishna Katha. So first we hear nicely, then we begin to accept some of these truths. And not just book knowledge, but actually really accept it, that one is Krishna's eternal devotee, but yet we have so many material desires. This body is acting and this mind is acting so independently of Krishna. So we have to begin to accept. This is surrender. Six principles of surrender are there as well. So first, humility. Then dedication of the self. So first you become humble. That I am completely controlled by this external material energy is taking me to so many places in my mind. And I do not see the world as I should be seeing it. So then you dedicate yourself to the process. Then if you accept, then you become attached to Krishna Katha. Krishna, this is the hearing and chanting, you become attached. So you have to make efforts to do like that. I find myself, unless you, because we are grihasthas living outside, we have to make money and do so many other things. We have family commitments, but still we must give time to this hearing and chanting. Brahmacharis you also have, and people living in the temple, you have so many activities you have to do, but still you have to give time to your hearing and chanting. So, but devotees living outside, grihasthas, they have to make a lot allotted amount of time to this Krishna Katha, this hearing and chanting. If you do not do that, you become interested in so many other topics like politics. You become very much interested in politics or other topics like religion or science or, you know. You will not be able to become absorbed in Krishna Katha, so you have to practice this. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta is saying that as you progress on, a stage is called Smaranavastha. This stage of remembering, so hearing, chanting, constantly, and then recollecting, remembering the topic, and recollection, and then he says later, absorption, meditation, then constant remembrance, and then trance. These five items are what he regards as Krishna Smaranam. So recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, trance. At first, he says, the remembrance is interrupted. But later, as you practice the art, it becomes uninterrupted. So this is, you can see, I look at these things and think, well, I have so much work to do in my subtle body. Because my body is not, my subtle body does not work in such a way that it is uninterrupted remembrance of Krishna. I don't know about your bodies, maybe your minds are better than mine, but so when remembrance is uninterrupted, it is concentrated, and it is called, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, it's called meditation. So this is what we have to do. We have to constantly remember, come to these points of concentrated. Then it is called anushmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anushmriti, one enters into samadhi. So this is the whole process of Krishna consciousness. You know, going all the way down to samadhi, which is a spiritual trance. And when one's fully developed in spiritual trance, then he understands his original spiritual position. Okay? So that is Krishna consciousness. So how far have you got with your Krishna consciousness? Has anyone developed their spiritual body? Actually, you wouldn't say if you did. You'd keep it quiet. You probably have, some of you, I'm sure. So this topic of Krishna consciousness, this is Krishna consciousness. So this process is practically, it's almost like lifetime's work in one sense. But in fact, there's one purport in, actually I should have got that quote, where Prabhupada says you cannot go back to God in one life. He says that in one purport. But other times he says you can go back to God in one life, you simply have to follow the principles. And so he's making the point out, it's very difficult because you've got to change your mind. Krishna consciousness is a process of changing your subtle body. And Prabhupada said, actually, the body is nothing. What you really are is your mind and your intelligence. Your body is just the external shell. What a person is really is their subtle energy that covers their soul. That's the real. So this this subtle body has to be changed. So Krishna consciousness is a process of changing that subtle body. So we shouldn't be too worried about our material and spiritual bodies, because devotee has material and spiritual body. This is a fact. And this is discussed by Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj. And he gives the example of, you know, when the in Krishna Lila, when Krishna plays his flute at night, he attracts all these, the gopis, they immediately hear that flute and they want to come to see Krishna. They become maddened by the sound of that flute, and because Krishna desires to enjoy. Although Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and is fully self-satisfied, still he wants to increase his ecstasy. Therefore, when the conditions are right, when the moon is rising, at that time, Krishna thinks, I shall now enjoy Rasalila. I shall now perform my Rasalila dance. And therefore, he plays on his flute. At that time, the moon rises, the breezes in Vrindavan forest become perfect, the lotuses open, everything, because the whole spiritual world and all the inhabitants and all the energies there are meant to satisfy Krishna. So out of season, the forests come into, and this perfect atmosphere, this is high spiritual culture, because obviously Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He must be the most cultured person of all. He must be able to exhibit the most wondrous artistry, and that he does, and his energies work with him for that purpose. So he plays his flute, the gopis come running, they don't care, even if they're, you know the story, even if they're cooking dinners or taking care of their husbands and children and doing their religious duties, they just give it all up, and they come to Krishna. They don't even dress themselves properly. Some of them have got their dresses on in strange ways. They can't. This type of enthusiasm to want to be with Krishna, this rati, this attraction to Krishna, takes place very deeply. So they come running to Krishna, but some of the gopis, there's different sorts of gopis in the spiritual world, as you know. Some of them are sadhana siddhi gopis. Some of them are sadhana siddhi? Sadhana siddha. Some are sadhana siddha, some are nitya siddha. So some of the gopis can immediately go to Krishna when he plays a trumpet. They have no problem. There's no obstruction. They just immediately go. But some of the gopis, the sadhans, they get stopped. Yogamaya makes arrangements or whatever, or something. They get stopped by their husbands. No, they cannot come. You cannot go. And they stay like that. And there is frustration on their behalf because they cannot go to Krishna. So they begin to meditate very deeply on Krishna. And this is described in the by Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj in the 10th canto. In their deep meditation, Krishna, actually Yogamaya awards them a spiritual body. And that spiritual body goes to Krishna after their meditation. Because some of the gopis, by Yogamaya's arrangement, did not enjoy intimately with their husbands. They did not have children. Other gopis, they had children with their husbands. So they were of a different category. So then gopis, it is described, that they, it's like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti says, it's like we have two bodies, spiritual body and material body. So there are desires. So, but if one intensely meditates, he can escape his material body and gradually come to his spiritual forms. And this is like our position. We have material body and spiritual body, isn't it? We have some spirituality, but then our material body sometimes will... So this is also described how one is when one is eating a meal. If you want to eat a meal, if you fully eat the meal, you will be fully satisfied. You will develop, your hunger will disappear, you will feel very nourished, and everything will be very nice. So, but if you take some of the meal, you will not be fully. So in Krishna consciousness, it is very important, what will happen to us is that we will eventually take to Krishna consciousness absolutely thoroughly. And then we will find perfection. But we should not be surprised to find that we cannot do that immediately. That's the point. We should not be discouraged, thinking, oh, we cannot become a Krishna conscious, we have so many material desires. Well, that's natural. Well, then purify your material desires. Do some meditation. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Keep praying to Krishna very intensely that I cannot. When you chant, you're around, you should be crying to Krishna. This is what's required. But if you're chanting, not doing that, then you cannot attain Krishna. You can be chanting for thousands of lifetimes. Unless you chant intensely and you try to change your subtle body, you can be forever. So, like that. So this chanting of holy name, actually Prabhupada in this next purport, which you will read, he describes what it means to make very perfect progress. And that we can understand through chanting the holy name without offense. We should chant the holy name without offense. So we should understand, what is the offenses of chanting the holy name? So this is what we have to do. We have to be very careful when we chant. Then we'll chant purely. Then we'll become perfect devotees. So we'll just run through and try to understand some of the offenses to chanting. Yeah, the first offense you might know is to blaspheme a devotee or devotees who are engaged in Krishna consciousness. This is So one should not blaspheme the devotees, or one should also not just any, all devotees. One should not think, oh, this devotee is a younger devotee, I shall think of him less, in a lesser way. That is also not good. One should be very careful when he's dealing with devotees, especially those who have completely surrendered their lives. One who has completely surrendered his life to Krishna, who is devoted to Sri Nam, who preaches the glories of Krishna, he has to be very carefully dealt with. And the second offense is to think the demigods are on the same level as Bhagavan Krishna. Or think that the name, form, and qualities and pastimes are different than Krishna. This is also interesting. That Nama Nami. That to think that the name of Krishna is not is different than Krishna or his qualities or his pastimes. If you think like that, you're committing Nama Parad. It may be that we might be thinking Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. We don't really take so much. We don't really take full shot of the name, understanding the full potency that Sri Krishna is there in his name. All the resonance of Vrindavan are there, because wherever Krishna is, there is Vrindavan, there is all his associates. So we should not think that chanting the holy name is different or something less than perhaps going to see Krishna in the deity form. Or reading the Bhagavatam. So Krishna's there in his name. So to think the demigods, or thinking that the name, form, and qualities and pastimes are different than Krishna, this is an offense. And then the third offense, to disobey the order of the Guru, thinking him. One should not think the Guru as an ordinary mortal being. It is a very severe offense. This is another thing we have to understand. How the Guru, what is Guru Tattva? Who is the Guru? He is not an ordinary person. We should never consider he has a material body or he's acting in the material world like we're acting. Because sometimes when you see someone, their external features, you might think of him in that way. But this is an offense. One should see him as how? Krishna says, one should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man. And one should develop unalloyed love for such, for the Guru, similarly as you do for Krishna. So this is you have to understand Guru Tattva, understand who is Guru, what is his real position. You know, one should not look at him in a material way, thinking he looks like this, he speaks like this, he appears to have this fault or that fault. He is actually the intimate servant of Krishna, and he has developed his spiritual form. This is how we have to see Guru. Like that. Internally, his internal activities are intimately connected with Krishna. He is not under the control of the modes of nature like we are. he is completely free. That's how. If we think of Guru like that, then that is... So if we do not commit the offense of blasphemy, if we do not commit the offense of thinking that Krishna's name is none different than his personality and his form and qualities, if we understand the Guru to be non-different or spiritual being, fully perfected spiritual personality, then we can chant the holy name perfectly. And we should not blaspheme the Vedic literatures. Or all Vedas and Upanishads proclaim the glories of Sri Nam. Now, some people may give more importance to other instructions of the Vedas and neglect the instructions and the glories of Sri Nam. Because there's lots of quotes about the potency of the holy name. You know, if you chant the holy name, then millions of sins are. We must not doubt these things, thinking then the exaggerations. So we shouldn't interpret the holy name either. This is another offense. So, like I say, some people may give think that there is an exaggeration. But many evidences are given. The verse Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Vas Vigraha Punya Sudha Nityanurta Manatmanama Namano. The Krishna's name is like touchstone, Chintamani Ras Vigraha. All the mellows of devotion are contained within the name. So we should not doubt. And the next offense is to think the names are an exaggeration. The Maya, it says, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that the Mayavadis and Kamis, they think that the sages have exaggerated that the holy name is a person. They think like that. So it's some kind of imagination. Because ultimately they think the Mayavadis, the philosophers, they think everything is one. And that Krishna's name does not have any specific spiritual potency. And certainly Krishna's name cannot possibly be the same as his form, pastimes and lila. They think like that. And then we should not commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name either. So like that we will chant, and then we've done our chanting, then we might think that we can now relax. This is offense to the holy name. So we cannot expect to find perfection unless we carefully avoid these offenses. Also the mind. In regards to committing sinful activities on the strength of the holy name, it is regarded that the mind is very wicked and will go to so many places. So if one's mind is going to such places and he does not regret and he lets his mind wander off to various places, that is like practically committing sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. You're chanting the holy name, the next minute you let your mind go off to this place, that place. I know you may not grossly follow, but if you're not careful, what your mind comes up with, you will end up... So you must shut off the mind when it goes into its mode of nonsensical sense gratification. So I'm going through the offenses because Prabhupada mentions in the next purport that it is very important to chant the holy name of the Lord without offenses. That is how you become perfect devotee. So to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious rituals, this is another thing offered in the Vedas. There's many rituals offered in the Vedas. If you read the Vedas, yes, become religious, do some sacrifice, do some dharma, perform vana ashram duties, give some charity, do some other pious activities, observe great vows, all these other kind of auspicious activities, renouncing the results of activities, doing all kinds of yajnas. These are all considered material dharma. Now when the holy name, Krishna's Sri Krishna's name is transcendental to all these things. It's nothing to do with material religion. It is, you cannot compare being a very good religious person to chanting the holy name. The chanting the holy name is completely transcendental. Being a very good religious person is auxiliary activities. It's important, but it's not, cannot be compared to chanting the holy name of Krishna. And if one is chanting the holy name of Krishna and he's thinking about acquiring these things that come about from religion, then he cannot, then he's committing offense to the holy name. So if we're chanting Hare Krishna thinking we want all our material problems solved, we want to become perfect religious, we want this, we want that, we want some, you know, position, we want relief from our troubles, we want to, you know, the result of religion is that one becomes, he gains wealth, he becomes very pious, he becomes very knowledgeable. So if you chant the holy name wanting these things, you have not understood the holy name, and therefore you're committing offenses to the holy name. Once you chant the holy name of the Lord only, in the sense to revive one's original Krishna consciousness and return and serve Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan in his original spiritual form. That is why we want to chant the holy name, not to become great religionists. So it's an offense. And also to instruct the holy name to those who have no faith. This is another offense. Now the guru, who's a very powerful acharya, he can instruct anyone about the holy name, even if they're offensive, or they are envious, or they're faithless. Still, because he's a very powerful acharya, he can even try to engage such personalities. But for us, we should avoid faithless, disinterested, or envious people. That's another offense. And the Christians, they say, like casting pearls before the swine. You cannot go to some Mayavadi or some person who has no faith whatsoever and try to tell him about the glories of Krishna's name. How Krishna is, you know, present in the name, Goloka Vrindavan, all the different leelas. Krishna, you cannot talk like that to someone who has no faith. It is an offense. And those who hear the glories of the holy name and then become attached, still they remain attached. This is also a great offense to the holy name. And actually, interestingly enough, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, you know, when you are, if someone who understands the glories of the holy name, who's chanting the holy name, if he remains attached, he's a great offender. So you should not associate with such people. And interestingly enough, he says, it is not proper for Vaishnavas to participate in Sankirtan groups in which Nama Aparadis are prominent and the lead singer is a Nama Aparadi. So it's not good. Because these Nama Aparadis, some of these Mayavadis, they chant Hare Krishna and do this. But they are completely attached to the material world. They have no understanding of the glories of Krishna's name. So it's not proper for Vaishnavas to participate in such Sankirtan groups. And it is an offense to the holy name, because they are attached. They're hearing the holy name, but they remain attached and do not fully take up Krishna consciousness or have faith in it. So this is also not good. So, 8:30. So I'll just finish off one more thing and then we'll call it there. So the chanting, this chanting of Hare Krishna makes one very conscious of one's anathas. This is one of the results of chanting the holy name. If you chant the holy name properly, you will understand fully how conditioned you are. It's not that you will immediately become fully Krishna conscious. First stage is to understand how conditioned you are, and then you can do something about it. So, anyway, I won't go into too much detail. Anybody have any comments or questions? Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yeah. Again, yes. I should mention, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has mentioned it. It's in the, actually, if you read the Nectar of Instruction, you know that small book? You could, all them points are there. It's the Nectar of Instruction where it says one should fully utilize one's time by hearing and chanting about Krishna 24 hours a day. Prabhupada gives a purport. Then he says, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says this on this topic. And there he gives this whole list how one can learn to meditate, become absorbed, stage by stage. It's a question of like that. That is where it's mentioned. So you can just read that verse. It is the second to last verse in the Nectar of Instruction. My values. I can only say what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had said, that one is not recommended to take part in such kirtan where such a man who is chanting, is lead, he says specifically, he was leading kirtan, you shouldn't partake in such, because he has no thorough understanding of what the name is, how Krishna is there in the name. And so you have to be very careful, because by such association, one won't really develop true Krishna consciousness. Because true Krishna consciousness, that verse, Satam Pasanga Mavaviram Bado Vantikritkana Rasanakata, you have to hear from those who are actually experiencing Krishna consciousness. Then the process takes place. Anyone who hears from such persons who are not so advanced in their spiritual life, they will not make such good advancement, and it's detrimental. It could be dangerous. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, be very careful to associate, because it's a very subtle thing, spiritual life, actually. Spiritual life is a very subtle thing. To properly get that mind under proper control in the right mood of devotion, it is a very subtle thing. You have to have the association of persons. If you're associating with people who are deviating or puffed up or are envious of Krishna, it may not be so obvious always. Like in Krishna's Leela, sometimes the cow, there was that demon, he came dressed up as a horse, wasn't it? Horse demon? He came in amongst the... Calf. Was he a calf? Yeah. He appeared like one of Krishna's... And also... what's her name? The witch Putana. Putana came. First of all, a very beautiful woman coming amongst us. And even the Gopi, Mother Yashoda and all the residents, oh, such a nice lady, come on. And you can hold baby Krishna, so this is where to be very careful. So, yeah, I'd say that one should be very careful and do such activities under the guidance of expert devotees. Yeah, but they might be attracting someone to chant, but what quality of chanting there will be, it will not be the same. Therefore, it is better to chant with someone who is pure devotee. That's always recommended in all our scriptures. One should not chant on partaking such kirtans unless one only has pure devotees there. Definition of pure devotee is he's following the four regular principles, he's chanting 16 rounds a day, Raj Prabhupada's. You know, like anyone can chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes we might fly this one over to do kirtan, that one over to do kirtan. Well, actually, anyone can chant Hare Krishna. You know, it is not even supposed to be a great musical performance. It's nice if it is, Well, purity is the most important thing. Anyone locally, they can chant Hare Krishna. Of course, if someone's very good at kirtan, let them chant, because they know how to lead good kirtan. That is always there. But ultimately, anyone can sit down and do some kirtan like that.